Beloved, say it with me. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. How many of you have already seen a difference in your lives since you began confessing this? Amen. You know, you'll see a difference. Listen, I expect to hear testimonies. Bob came in Wednesday night and said some fellow had called him up that day and said he had how many million dollars to invest? And wondered if Bob had any projects that he needed cash for. Well, how many have been watching the news? Even a little bit. What do they all tell you? You couldn't borrow money if you needed to. You can't buy a new car, they're telling you. You can't do anything. And yet somebody called Bob and said, what do you have a project? We've got capital. Well, you see, that's the way it goes. We had a lady here in church a while back. She came in. She was from California. Some of you may remember her. I can't remember her name right now, but she's a real estate agent. And if any of you have been watching or listening, watching trends, you know that the trend in California and across the United States is that real estate market is in the dumps. This lady said, I made more money last year since I began to serve God than I've made in my career. And it was all in the worst time. We've got people walking around that they're, you know, and Christians are just as bad as any. Some love the doom and gloom. You know, some people are just attracted to doom and gloom. You don't believe it? Watch what Hollywood puts out in the form of movies. On the second thought, don't watch. What Hollywood. In fact, I want to encourage you to begin to boycott Hollywood. You say, why would I do that? Well, I want to tell you something. You know, if I find out a company is endorsing or advertising ungodly things, I make it a point not to use that company. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. I may miss some things. But some of you may have even had me tell you about a certain company that was advertising greatly in homosexual things and encouraging people along that line. Putting their advertising money out to it. I quit buying there. I encouraged my friends to quit buying there. I got a letter from Don Wildman last week and said, praise God, they turned around and they have agreed that they will from now on not be pro-homosexual. Praise God, that's a victory. That's a victory. You can vote with your money. You know, people vote all the time with their feet. There's a lot of people vote about church. They don't realize it, but they're voting against God because they just don't come. They do what they want to do. Their stuff's more important than God's stuff. How many of you would ever say something like that? My stuff is more important than God's stuff. Anybody here that bold? Well, I hope not. And yet some of your lives tell that your stuff's more important than God's stuff. Your things are more important than God's things. My plans are more important than God's plans. God help us. I said, God help us. Let's turn it around. Let's make decisions. Let's become assertive. Let's become proactive. Let's put God's stuff first. Amen? God's will. What is it? That you prosper. That you be in health. Even as your soul prospers. I want you to say this with me. God's will for me is that I be saved. That I be healed. And that I prosper. That is redemption from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says. Christ hath redeemed us. He purchased us back from an evil slave master. Because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14 says that the blessings of Abraham, say the blessing. The blessing. I have the blessing. The blessing of Abraham. Somebody says, what is that blessing? Did you know that all of the gospel was preached to Abraham? Now, I shouldn't say it that way. Maybe all of the gospel wasn't. But the Bible says the gospel was preached to Abraham. How many know it says that? Yes. The scripture says the gospel was preached to Abraham. Now, I don't know how explicit it was, but let's put it this way. I know that he knew about redemption. I know that he knew about sacrifice. Some of us have taken time to study years ago when we went through all of Torah here on Sunday mornings and went through the whole thing from Genesis clear through Deuteronomy. We studied it all. We saw that Abraham, every time he would make a mistake, remember he went down to Egypt and tried to give his wife away? What did he do? He returned back to the place where he talked to God and built an altar and offered a sacrifice. And he did that time after time. He'd blow it a little bit and he'd quickly go back. How many of you want to go back to those early days? Those early days when you felt God's presence all around you. How many of you want that? Well, listen, it's not far away. It's not far away. But it's going to take now discipline. You were a baby then and God fed you and gave you your pacifier. But now you're an adult. And if you want to feel and have that awareness of Him like you did then, you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to do some things some different. Right? You're going to have to put your life into choosing the right way. And those choices come up every day. Do I do this or do I do that? Is this more important or is that more important? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? How many of you have gotten an email from me lately that says, and you'll hear a voice behind you that says, this is the way. Walk in it. He wants you to go the right way. Some of you have just made up your mind, it's got to be this way, and you're going to go ahead and do your things. And here's the sad thing. It's leading you on destructive paths. We need to make different choices. Amen? We need to make different choices. Praise God. We're blessed. We believe it's God's will, don't we? It's God's will to save us. How many of you know that the Bible says this explicitly? God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen? He's willing. He's willing. How many of you know that it also says He wants you to be well? He sent His Word to heal us. Who? Oh, just some of us. Those of us that He chooses to... No, didn't say that. Said He sent His Word to heal us. He took our pains. He took our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our shalom is upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Everyone, the Bible says in the Gospels, that came to Him, He healed them. It's His will. The devil doesn't care if you go around saying, God is able, God is able, God is able. He is able. But boy, I'll tell you what, he'll try to shut your mouth from saying, He is willing. Say it with me. He is willing. Willing to save, willing to heal, and willing to prosper. We're talking about prosperity. You need to begin to speak. Open your mouth, speak. Everyone to the person in this place right now, I want you to see that you can open your mouth. Say, Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I think you did it. If anybody didn't, shame on you. You're rebellious. Either that or you're non-committed to hear the Word of God. There are some people sit around and don't pay attention. And that day will sneak up on them, the Bible says. The day could come upon you unaware. I don't want to be in that place. We looked last week at the glory of God's house. But before we go to it again, just finish it up. I want to say this to you, that part of Teshuvah is learning to do what I'm teaching you this morning about remaining silent. Part of our repentance. We need to repent from being silent. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
It's important that you begin to speak out the things of God. You need to let your ears hear them. If you'd been studying with us on Wednesday night, you would know that your tongue, according to the Bible, is a pen. Your tongue is a pen. For those of you that are missing this, don't miss it. It's so important. It's foundational truth. Your tongue is a pen. and it writes every time you speak. Your inner ear hears. Have you ever noticed that you sound different when you speak than when you hear yourself on a tape recorder? You think, who's that? It's because you hear yourself on your inside. You sound different. But every time you hear yourself speaking, you're writing something on your heart. Be careful what you speak. My mother told me years ago, she said, if you say a cuss word three times, it's yours. You know what I found out? It's true. Why? You get it written down there about three times, you've got it, something permanent going on. And certain things come up, and I tell you what, people will just begin to blurt it out. You get yourself under pressure. Now, don't be overcome of evil, Romans 12:21 says, but overcome evil with tov, good. With the good. So what I've been doing is I've been writing over the top of all those cuss words I learned when I was young. You know, I used to cuss. I used to think it was impossible to speak without cussing. Then I found out I was a liar one day. Did you ever find out you were a liar? Because I'd say, I just can't talk any different. I've been talking that way. And you know what? My granddad, whenever he was around me, I could speak without cussing. I didn't have any trouble talking around him. Why? Because I had respect for him. Then I began to realize if there's a God in heaven, and if he can live in our heart, I can be aware of him at all time. And you know what? Profanity is not a problem for me. Because I've been writing over the top of all those words I used to know. I've got them blotted out. And I write the Word of God in their place. And when pressures come, listen to me now, it's very important, when pressures come, you can say the Word. You can speak His Word. You can say what He says. You young people, don't start this nonsense of getting into young people talk and jargon and nonsense. You don't need it. It'll drag you down. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. What? Yes, amen. You got it. You got it. You got my invitation to do that anytime you want to. Just, yes, amen. Praise God. And the rest of you do too. Begin to talk back to me. You know what? If you do this, and I'm not talking about sass, I'm talking about talking back. Yes, yes, amen. But if you begin to do that, pretty soon you're going to find you're going to be more vocal. Do it in little ways. Start out. Don't even think about what somebody else is going to think about you. It's part of teshuvah. It's part of teshuvah. It's part of our repentance. Changing not just our mind about God, but changing the way we act because of our mind being changed. And what I'm telling you is very, very important that you learn to hear the voice of God and say what He says with your voice so that you can hear it. Amen. How many of you know that meditation has been mischaracterized? Meditation is muttering. That's literally what the word means, to mutter. How do you mutter? With your voice. Praise God. God supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do that almost any place, even on an airplane. Once in a while somebody say, what'd you say? But that's all right. You can do it. Talk to yourself. But talk the right things. Amen? We were talking about the glory of God's house last week. How many remember? What a house. In fact, first we've also looked at the tent. The tabernacle in the wilderness. What a tent! Man! We looked at the value of it in present day dollars. But first we looked at what God's like in His house. The glory of His house in Revelation. Revelation 21:10, John says, God showed me the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And he says in the 11th verse, it says, having the glory of God. Say glory. Glory of God. The Tifereth. the tifereth of God, the kavod. Kavod. That's glory. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The 18th verse says, I'm jumping down, says the building of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. 19th verse says, the foundations of the walls were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And I'm just going to name them. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, and amethyst. 12 different foundations of the city, all made up of huge jewels. Who's preparing a place that looks like this? Huh? Yeah, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So what kind of place is this? Well, it's a place that where a rich God lives, right? How many of you know God's rich? How many of you know He's rich in beauty, in splendor, in magnificence? He's a magnificent God. I mean, everything. He could say He's flashy. God's kind of flashy, isn't He? He's kind of gaudy. Really? Yeah, can you imagine? Now, I know, you know, this gets down on some of the things we've begun to think because we've decided that riches somehow have inherent in them corruptness. But it's obvious that there's nothing corrupt and nothing defiling in that holy city. You believe that? Nothing there. All right. Well, so we're here on this earth. Well, let's go on just a little bit. It says the 12 gates were pearls and the street of the city was pure gold. Now, I can hear people, and I see people's minds going, oh, well, that's just for heaven. That's where God, that's when everything's perfect. Then why did Yeshua tell us in Matthew 6 to pray that His will be done in earth as it is in heaven? Was He only talking about spiritual things? Do you think He was? You could need to go back and read the context. He talks about in this Sermon on the Mount the things that we need here on this earth. He says you shouldn't even have to take thought for the things here on this earth. Your Heavenly Father will take care of you. Right? You need to know He'll take care of you. How's He going to take care of me? Well, I believe He'll just give me just barely enough. Well, as you believe, so be it given unto you. What do you want to believe? I believe that He is a superabundant, too much God, and He has a will that the people who are responsible, say responsible, the people who are responsible believers will control the money of this world. How many of you know that in Las Vegas, they go in and tear down multi-million dollar casinos that there's not a thing in the world wrong with just because they want to build a new one in the same spot? How many of you know that the drug lords in this world are controlling untold billions of dollars? How many of you know that corrupt governments are spending money on ungodly legislation? Now let me ask you, kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done here on earth? Are we supposed to pray that?
Yes.
I said, is that something that a believer would pray?
Yes.
Then what would be happening if that were happening? Would casinos and Las Vegas be the wealthiest place in our country?
No.
You know, it's amazing to me, every time there's a bad time going on, have anybody noticed that there's already started a move? If you were reading any blogs or hearing about them, there's a move to blame a certain group for all of the problems we're in again. Who is it? What group's going to be blamed? The Jews. Those Jews, they control the money. They control Wall Street and they control Washington. Have you heard this garbage? Well, it's not true. It's not sure there's some Jews that control a lot of money, and God ordained it that way. Praise God. And some of them are ungodly Jews. But it's not a whole nation of people. No, look around. I'd rather have the Jews have all the money than one drug lord. than one prostitution ring, than gambling. By the way, y'all know to vote against those gambling measures, the amendments on the ballot. Vote against that. Never should have gotten gambling in this state at all. Now they want to increase their hours. They want to have total control within the cities. No. Vote against it. It's just another lifting it up. Way to push it on further into our economy. No. Oh, but it'll build schools. No. Are you listening to me? Praise God. I can tell Kimber does. I can get her snickering every now and then. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1. You going to follow your father? What's your father look like? You know, John says, when I saw the throne, he says, the glory was like the colors of a rainbow. Isn't that right? Says it was like an emerald with the colors of a rainbow. An amber. Which I think speaks of the flames and the fieriness of it. What's our Father like? Well, look at Yeshua. What's He like? What's He like? Somebody said, well, you know, here on this earth He didn't even have a house. He said, I don't have a place to lay my head. What? He could have if He'd have wanted to. Why didn't He have a place to lay His head? He wasn't home.
He was demonstrating humility too.
And He was reaching out all the time. He was the oldest son of Joseph. If Joseph owned a home, it would have been Jesus. If He wanted it, He didn't need it. And by the way, when we're talking about this, I'm not talking about ownership. Near as much. You need to get out of this idea that I've got to have the deed on everything. I want to put it in the safety deposit box. I don't think that's the key. I believe what we're talking about is God giving us the wealth of the sinner to use. To use. When you get into this storage mentality, you're probably slipping over into greed. Now, having said that, I do believe it's right for us to have accounts set up that we can put money in to be ready to do good works with. I believe that's right, and I believe you ought to start looking that direction. God's house was glorious. God said, build me one on the earth that looks like that. We go back into Exodus and we find out that God said, build me a nice tabernacle. We looked at it last week. I offered this to people, or actually 2 weeks ago, that at today's values, the value of the gold and the silver that was in the tabernacle would have been $2,667,500 plus. That's just the gold and the silver that went into it. That doesn't mention all of the jewels. Doesn't mention all of the tapestries and the skins that would have been in there would have been amazing. The timber that had to go into it. Just the gold and the silver. If any of you want a copy of the stuff I did, we priced gold last week at $875 an ounce, and it, of course, has taken a pretty good hit this week too. But, you know, how many of you know that gold has a kind of a strange thing about it? That gold does about the same no matter whether it's in ancient times or now. The same amount of gold will buy just about the same amount of stuff. That's been that way for years and years and years. And right now, it may be inflated somewhat above that. But that's been pretty typical. It follows it may have a much greater value, but, you know, if you adjust for inflation and all of this and that, it'll still buy about the same amount of bread. That's why we call money bread sometimes, right? Buys bread. And so, you know, gold's kind of an interesting thing to look at. But we looked at what David did. David said, talking about the house of God, in 1 Chronicles 22:5, he says, the house that's to be builded for Yahweh must be exceeding magnifical. Ma'al gadal is the Hebrew for it. Ma'al gadal. Sounds big, doesn't it? Ma'al gadal. Must be nice, right? The house. And David had such a desire to build that house. Did you know that? He was concerned about it all the time. He was thinking about it all the time. He said, it needs to be magnificent, a fame and glory throughout all countries. In other words, it needs to be built so that people will talk about it that have never even seen it but have just heard words about it. Are there places like that today that people talk about that they've never seen? You know, I don't know if any of you have heard about the Vatican, but the Vatican is an exceedingly wealthy place. It gets talked about. The gold that's stored there. How many of you believe that that gold could be doing more if it was in your hands, reaching the lost? Huh?
Yes.
How many of you think that maybe that gold could be used to send missionaries and make it so missionaries like Daniel and Menorah McCarty don't have to come home and itinerate? Shame on the church. Shame on the people of God. That they demand every year that somebody come back to them and give an emotional burst so they can give for the next year. Pooey on that. I detest that. We've got a wrong attitude. Should they come every year? Absolutely. Exhortation. Reports. They should come and tell us what's going on. But there shouldn't be a thought in their mind, I'm coming to raise support for the next year. I lost somebody this year. A church decided not to support us anymore, and we're already 30 days behind by the time we find out they quit supporting us. They quit giving. And so we got to go back and we got to get more. This has happened to them in Burma. This has happened to them in the Philippines. That people drop out. Well, listen, people, if everyone tithes, there's too much money. Oh, if we could get this down, it would change. If everyone tithes, there would be too much. Too much for here. And we would be sending every missionary that needs to be sent. And churches would be doing this everywhere. And there would still be too much. We'd be building places in foreign lands. $1,570 for 10 villages? No, how about $1,570,000 for how many villages would that be, Dan? Come on, multiply. Don't you understand that it could happen? We've got to have a change in our attitude. We've all lived from what we call hand to mouth. We've lived that way, and so it's become a pattern in our lives. And our believing has been such that we haven't believed that God could do more so that your needs would be just taken care of. That's all. And you don't even think about that. You're only looking for the other places that you can put that too much money. I'm excited about it. Things are going to change. Things are going to change. The Bible said this house is supposed to be so exciting and so beautiful, exceeding magnifical, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. So David, and this is what we've got to do, so David prepared. So David prepared. David began to prepare. And we talked last week that he prepared. He dedicated 100,000 talents of gold. Now this is national treasury. 100,000 talents of gold. He had 1,000,000 talents of silver. And each talent, conservatively, is 100 pounds. Two people carried a talent. And then David not only prepared nationally, but he prepared himself. The Bible said that he gave himself 3,000 talents of gold. He gave 7,000 talents of silver out of his own possessions. What he had saved up. You see, he had a storehouse just for the house of God. And then he said to the leaders of Israel, it's time for you guys to get involved. Let's receive an offering. I want you all to take out your checkbooks. Take out your wallets. We're going to receive an offering. And the leaders of Israel gave 5,000 talents of gold and 10,000 talents of silver. Totally. And this was at $875 an ounce. The gold listed would have been worth roughly $10 billion. The silver listed would have been $1,320,000,000. Total gold and silver would have been over nearly $11 billion. This is what they stored up before. Now, that doesn't even mention the workers. You know, did you realize that they had to set up a huge camp and had workers come in? 187,000 people worked on the temple. Think about that. Now, who ordered all of this? I mean, couldn't they have saved some money somewhere? You know, they make some nice plated gold handles. They don't have to be pure gold, do they? Who ordered it that way? David? Did David come up with the plans for the temple? Who did? How do we know that? David said in 1 Chronicles 28:19, "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." He had the blueprints from God. How did Moses get the blueprints for the tabernacle? Upon the mount. He said, God told him, be careful to make it exactly like the pattern that I've showed you. So all this gold. Well, couldn't we have saved a little money on the woodwork and on the carpet? Did we have to put the best carpet in the house of God? Couldn't we save on that? Have you ever asked yourself, what happens to all the money that people save for God? Does God ever see it? I said, does God ever see it? I don't think so. I think most of the money that people think they're saving by economizing on God's things, God never sees it. They end up spending it on themselves. Wow. 187,000 workers for 7 years. Conservatively, if each one of them only made about $9,000 a year, that would have been $12 billion. How many of you think they spent some money on this temple? How many of you think that they cut corners? No. And yet nowadays, that's the name of the game, especially when it comes to things of God. Like I hear people all the time, they call me up. We've got some things we thought maybe the church could use. They're used things, they're worn out. Thought maybe the church could use these. What do you suppose God thinks about that? We give them the castaways. Have you ever heard of some of the things that people put in mission barrels to send to mission field? Clothing drives that go on. We had a missionary friend that I won't call him a close friend, but one that we listened to for a number of times. They called him Buona Timbo, the Lord Elephant. He's a big old guy. Went into the mission field when he was too old for the Assemblies of God to send him, so he just went in on his own. He went in without sponsorship. Found some Methodist churches and other churches that would send him. Went on over there, learned the language. They'd open up these barrels that come from the United States and find used tea bags in the barrels. That's your best, huh? Give your best to the Lord. Said one time they sent a barrel of clothing, and he said the next Sunday morning, said some woman from one of the tribes came to work wearing nothing but a corset and a hat with a feather on it. Can you imagine someone sending a corset to the mission field? Even 50 years ago, they weren't wearing corsets anymore. Somebody found that. Send and give things like that. People's attitudes toward the things of God are abominable. What happened if we said we're going to build a new house for God? Now I realize the temple's been built and that we're the temple that's not built with hands. I understand that. But yet we still have places that represent Him to people. We are people that represent God to people. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We are representative. You don't just live to yourself. You represent God. What should you look like? How about like your father? When John saw Yeshua, John says, I saw him, and he said, man, he was glorious. He said he is wearing a gold band around his waist, around his loins. A gold band, solid gold band. The streets of the city that they live in is pure gold. What should we look like? Does that mean you have to go around with gold? No, but I'll tell you what. It means you need to do the best with what you have. Where are we right now? Where are you right now? I'm not locating you. You can locate yourself. You say, I don't have the ability to go out and start showing off like that and being gaudy like God. Well, nobody's asking you to. You said it. Gaudy. I mean, in the world standard, you know, a man come out walking today wearing a gold band around his loins. How many of you think he'd get some attention? Well, he's the king. I said, he's the king. He's the king of the universe. Melech HaOlam. But what should we look like? Yeah, let's wear our dirty cowboy boots. Scrape a little manure off. That's good enough for him. No, I don't think so. I think we need to give our best to the Master. Why? Because what does the world see? What did David say? This place is supposed to be a place so that people can see it and will talk about it. We need to change our attitude about the way we look. They need to talk about it. Say, man, they love their God. Tell you this. They do the best for Him. They put their best into His stuff. Whether it's His house or whether it's our bodies. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have from God, and you're not your own. You were bought with a price. I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up about this. I'm stirred up. After they got all this money, and David says in the 1 Chronicles 29:10, says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Now listen. They had accrued over 10, nearly 11 billion, maybe, you know, in gold. Now, you know, we don't know what it was worth in their day's money, but we know, again, it'd buy about the same thing it would today. Right? Yeah. Said, wherefore, after they got all this in, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Yahweh, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Yahweh. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee. What did Dan say this morning? He said, we're going to take that of what you have given us and return it back to you. Isn't that right? Riches and honor. And that's honor is also kavod, I believe. Riches and glory come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Riches and honor, glory, come from God. Say it. Riches and glory come from God. Then why should Las Vegas have all of it? Why should Hollywood control it?
It's not true riches what they have.
No, but they're controlling the wealth of this world and the wealth of the sinners laid up for just. It's not the true riches. You're right. And yet on this world, it is the thing that is used, right? It is the medium of exchange. Do we need it? How many of you say, I don't need any money? Pretty tough to buy without it. We do need it. Riches and honor come from God. Now, stop real quick. What doesn't come from Him? The love of money does not come from God. You guard against this with all your heart. You be diligent to make sure that you don't begin to say, boy, you know, I got a little in here and man, this is nice. Because it's going to begin to come to you. I think I'll see if I can't store up a little more. I'll get me a couple more bank accounts. Not the love of money. It didn't come from God. That's the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. David goes on in the 13th verse and says, now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. The 14th verse, but who am I? Now this is us today. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? He was astounded at what had happened. What an offering they received. What? I mean, this is all done in advance. You know what they weren't looking for when they got ready to build the temple? A money lender. They didn't need one. How many of you would like to build a house that way? Is it all right? Would it be all right with God if we build a house to live in and didn't have to have 30 years looking after a mortgage? It would be right. I believe it's the plan of God. Again, where you are right now may not have anything to do with what I'm saying. But you're going to begin. We're going to start out and we're going to change our attitude about these things. You may be right now saying, I'm going to shorten my mortgage. Well, that's going to have to be done by God's blessing too, isn't it? I'm going to pay it off in advance. If any of you are interested in doing it, bring me your amortization schedule and I'll show you something that'll astound you. If you've got an amortization schedule, and if you don't, you should demand one from your lender, bring it to me and I'll show you something that'll astound you. But I'm not just talking about just getting it paid off earlier. I'm talking about starting to build with cash. Starting to buy with cash. I'm talking about that. He says, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? For all things come of thee. Everything we have comes from God, doesn't it? He recognized this. And of thine own have we given thee. It was already yours, God. Verse 20, David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless Yahweh, God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshipped Yahweh and the king. I want you to see that there was a tremendous connection between their willing giving and their worship. The tithes should be worship. The offering should be worship. And by the way, we're in a time of year right now. This is one of the three times when every Jew was to appear in Jerusalem. Is that right? That's right. At Passover, in the days of Matzah, they were to be there. At Shavuot, Pentecost, they were to be there. And during the fall feasts, they were to be there. So they came actually at Yom Teruah and remained through Sukkot. What were they not to come without? What?
No empty hands.
That's right. Offerings. Empty handed. So we're talking about tithes and we're talking about offerings. The tithe is your first fruits, but the offering is something else you do. Brothers and sisters, I would recommend that all of us, I'm recommending it because the Word of God says we should do it. We should be bringing special offerings during this time. Special offerings should be coming during this time. You should be bringing them. Verse 20 again, he says, to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord, of the God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and their king. Just to show you real briefly, glory and riches are similar. In fact, they're connected in the Bible all, I don't know how many times. Glory and riches are in there. Listen to this. In Genesis 31:1, when Jacob had gone off with only his stick and his backpack, went and lived with Laban, after 20 years, he had accrued so much that the first verse said he heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this what? Glory. Well, did he have glory? Well, they thought it was glory. It was wealth. It was wealth. But it was glory. Why? Because it came from God. It would be just money if it didn't come from God. But this is glory. Listen, Revelation 5:10. The Bible says that Yeshua has made us unto our God kings and priests. Do you believe that? Kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Did we say that already this morning? We're going to reign with Him. We're going to reign with Him. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How much is 10,000 times 10,000? It's 100 million, I believe. 100 million. 100 million. And thousands of thousands would be and millions. 100 million and millions more of angels. I heard them. And they were saying with a loud voice. How many of you suppose maybe their praise meeting got a little louder than ours did this morning? And they said with a loud voice, all of them. 100 and some odd million of them, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." In Isaiah 61:1, where Yeshua is talking about His ministry, you realize Yeshua said this in the beginning. He is the Word, right?
Yes.
He quoted it again when He was here on this earth. But it says, "The Spirit of Yahweh God is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn." But jump down to the sixth verse. It says, "But you shall be named the priests of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat what?" You shall eat what? The what? You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Look out, Las Vegas. Look out, Hollywood. Look out, dope dealers. Look out! Because this money that you've been controlling in these last days is laid up for the righteous. What are we going to do with it? "Well, I'm going to have me a Beamer. I'm going to have me one of them $100,000 cars. I'm going to get me a 40-room mansion." No. I don't intend to move. I mean, if I do, I might move into a place that doesn't have stairs. But I don't intend anything huge. What would I do if I had all that money?
Send a lot of missionaries.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Wouldn't it be something to just be able to go? I've been to Africa. And I have someone, I have these African bishops come up to me, and they've got kids galore. People everywhere. And they all think, you know, "We're from America. You can do it right now. You be our bishop." I'd like to go over there and move those children out of those huts with the corrugated steel roof and put them in a place. I'd like to take orphans and put them in a house. Sponsor parents to take care of them. Wouldn't you like to do that? Amen. Minister the gospel. Have a whole bunch of Christian ministry orphanages. I'm talking about true houses of worship. Building churches in places. Sending missionaries to places where nobody else can go.
Yes.
Have any of you ever flown to Asia? You can't do it for $200. Can't do it for $500. On a rare occasion, you might get there for $700, but I guarantee you're going to sit in the back of the plane. I'm talking about sending people and sending stuff with them. Most every year, we have been sending things out of our bookstore to the Philippines, and the people over there still eat up books. We keep the same books in our bookstore from year to year that many people haven't read. They don't even care to read. We take them over there and give them away, and wow. You'd think those people had a piece of gold. I want to do that. I want to ship abundance to places where they haven't heard yet. That's what we could do with the wealth of the wicked. That's what we could do. We're going to eat the riches of the Gentiles and their glory. In their glory you shall boast yourselves. We're ambassadors. We're His priesthood. Everything that we do speaks of Him. What should it look like? Say this word with me. Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent. What does it mean? When we say excellent, Caleb, break that word down for me.
Excel.
Excel? What does that mean?
Go ahead of
or above, right? Excellent. To go above. To go above the norm. Why? Well, I want to be seen. You know, I want to stand up and everybody say, "Look what I do." No. I'd like to stay in the background and send the money and give glory to Yeshua. Amen? How many of you can see that the love of money is a bad thing, but riches are good?
Yes.
And to use riches the way God wants us to do it will make a difference in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Everything to do with Yahweh and His kingdom should show excellence. Should show magnificence. Ma'al gadal. Right now, we'll just do the best with what we have. But I'm believing that we're going to excel. Amen? I'm believing we're going to come to the head. I believe we'll be the head and not the tail. I believe we'll be above and not beneath. I believe we're going to be those that go forward and prosper.
Yes.
And do what God called us to do.
Yes.
You say, well, it's not all about money, Pastor. I know that. But you can't tell me that if you've ever been overseas, that it's not about money to a certain extent. You can't tell me if you've ever tried to keep a church running, that it's not about money to a certain extent. We got to have it. And why should we be sitting around all the time and working ourselves, thinking about what's next and how is this going to get paid? And how are we going to... I don't believe that's God's will for us. He said, take no thought about these things. What you shall eat. What you shall drink. What you shall put on. That's what the Gentiles are seeking after. I'm not seeking them for that. That's all of my needs. All of those things are added to me for one reason. Because my attention, say your attention. My affection, say my affection.
My affection.
All of my seeking is first toward the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things. What things? What you shall eat. What you shall drink. What you shall put on. What you shall drive. Where you shall live. Right now, a lot of people are saying, who should I pay first? Isn't that right? You think that's the will of God?
No.
No. It's not the will of God. And it may take some time, but if you stick around, you're going to get this. Right now, do what you can. Don't say what you've got's not important. Remember the widow's mites?
Yeah.
How many of you remember those two mites of the widow? They were important, weren't they?
They were.
In fact, Yeshua said they're greater than everything else that people have given. So do the best with what you got. Someone said, you know, I may not be able to dress in the best, but I can be clean.
Yes.
Right? I can show forth that much glory, can't I? I can be clean. Dirty is never an excuse. There's never an excuse for dirtiness. By trusting, we're starting out where we are, but by trusting, we're going to come up. We're going to excel. We're going to rise above where we are. We're growing. We're prospering. We're going to fulfill a destiny. Say destiny.
Destiny.
I have a destiny that I know I can fulfill. I have a destiny in His city on the hill. I have a destiny. I have a destiny. And I can fulfill it by coming up, by growing. I've got a little bit more. Can you give me a little more time? Everybody need to go home? Anybody need to leave right now? If you can give me a little more time, you won't be sorry. You won't be sorry. And I'll try to be sensitive. Actually, I've got so much I couldn't possibly get it in today. But I've got a little bit more. But I want to ask you, what kind of God do we serve? What kind of God is He? What is His will? How many of you would say, if I knew God's will, I would walk in it? Anybody?
Would
you? Would you walk in God's will if you knew it? Well, actually we do. It's here. What is revealed about Him? He's big. What else besides big?
Generous.
Righteous. Generous. Glorious.
Excessive.
Oh, I don't like to say that my God is excessive. How many of you ever looked at the blackbirds? You ever get into a bunch of blackbirds? I'll tell you, they're excessive. They're everywhere sometimes. God's got so many birds. Birds of the air. The fish of the sea. You guys have done some scuba diving. Do you ever see a few fish when you're down there? Huh?
Quite a few
fish. I mean, could you get by with a few less? Especially the barracuda.
It's kind
of
ugly.
Yeah. Too many fish. Too many. You know, God just builds things. Flowers. Henrietta and I walked up on Yom Kippur, we walked up Anahu Creek. We sat down in the grass and prayed and just had a good time in our fast that day. Just enjoying the presence of the Lord. And you know what? You know, things are dying. Leaves are falling off the trees and everything. And we sat there and a little flower sitting over there beside, just like it was a spring flower, sitting there looking at us, little yellow flower, you know. We walked back a ways off of the road and or the trail and got back over to a place we wanted to go look at something we saw over there. And we looked over there, and here's a little flower blooming there. And I said, now, isn't that something? I said, you know, nobody probably ever comes over here, but God said, I'm going to set this flower right here because Terry and Henrietta are going to come by and get to look at it today. God just does things so gloriously and so abundant. He just, everything He does. You know, it's been said that if the wealth of the world were distributed properly, everyone would be rich. Have you ever heard that? If it were distributed properly, there's no shortage. There's no shortage of gold. There's no shortage of money. It's just not being distributed properly. People are hoarding it. People are holding it back. People are saying, I gotta store it up and eat, drink, and be merry. Because this life's short, right? And it is. It is. No, God's not that way. God's not that way. Bible says in Exodus 28:1, to look at what kind of God we serve. He says, you shall take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Do you dress for glory and beauty? Well, let me ask you something. Are you a priest or are you not? Are you a priest or are you not? Is there still a priesthood today? We call it the priesthood of the believers. What should it look like? Should we dress for glory and beauty? I don't like that. I like khaki and camo. I want three shades of gray in my closet. Dark gray, light gray, and medium gray. Right? By the way, Bethany, nice jacket. By the way, Rosemary, nice blouse. I like that. Jonathan, nice shirt. I like bright. I think we ought to be bright. Dress the priest for glory and for beauty. Now, you know, ladies, listen to me. We've got scriptures in Timothy and we've got scriptures in Peter that say that you're not supposed to adorn yourself in an immodest fashion. Does everybody believe that? What does that mean? How many of you know that modest, M-O-D-E-S-T, does not... Maybe I could get Caleb to do that one for me too. No, we won't draw on his brain again. Modest. It does not mean ugly. Modest doesn't mean ugly. What does it mean? Not too high. Not too low cut. Not too tight. Men, that goes for you too. And not too sheer. You know, guys think it's all right to leave their buttons down to here, you know.
It's not cool.
Not cool. That's immodest. Girls, it's definitely immodest. Cover up! But you know, modest can be pretty. Modest can be bright. Modest can be something that someone says, you know, that person is very pleasant to look at. And I believe you could do that. You know, I think some guys have gotten so concerned that their wives are going to be lusted after that they want them to look scrubbed and drab. I don't like that. I don't believe that's right. Do you?
I just do that all on my own. It doesn't.
God wants to see you for glory and for beauty. Glory and beauty. How many of you think that that was a type of what we're to be today as His priests? You know, I'll be right honest with you. I don't know that I could handle wearing the priestly garments all the time. I mean, we could go through them, but they were, you know, that was a heavy outfit. But I'll tell you what, you didn't get this thing from Walmart. This was tailor-made, yes.
I was going to say, we're down in the South, again, with the, one time we were at a church where
church, but all the black people that came into the restaurants after church on Sunday, they are decked out. The guys are wearing bright purple suits or bright yellow suits, and their hats are on, and I mean, there's not a hair out of place, and the women are all decked out, and I mean, you know, somebody said, oh, you look nice. Well, I just came from church. I got to dress up for God, one guy said. He says, I dress up for my Lord.
That's right. That's right. Now, you don't have to wear a yellow suit and a big hat with a flower in. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about getting an image. Somebody said, you know, God nowadays, I've had people tell me this, God nowadays doesn't care what we dress in. Well, you know, if you read on a little further, Yeshua tells a story about somebody coming to a wedding one time, and I think he cared. They showed up without wedding clothes on. I think he cared. How many of you have read that story? What did he do with the guy that came in that way? What did they do? Tossed him out into outer darkness. Does God care about how we dress? You better ask Him. You can be led by the Spirit, but you better at least be asking Him about it. You know, we've developed just a fad of drab. And I don't believe it's God at all. I don't believe it's God at all. In Exodus 28:32, he talks about this garment that Aaron's going to wear. He said there should be a hole in the top of it, and in the midst thereof it shall have a binding of woven work round about the hole in it. In other words, there was a place for his head to go where the hole of a habergeon, as it were the hole of a habergeon, that it not rent. What does rent mean? Amplified says that it doesn't tear or tatter or fray. Nowadays, people buy their blue jeans with tatters and frays in them and think, ooh, I'm in style, man. And pay more money for it. Come up to my house. I'll pour bleach all over your stuff and it'll look really tattered and torn, and I won't charge you very much for it. No, you don't want to look like that. Make this plate for the head covering of pure gold. Put holiness to the Lord on it, says in Exodus 28:36. He says in the 40th verse, it says, for Aaron's sons, you shall make them coats, and you shall make for them girdles and bonnets. Now, you know, in our mind, girdles and bonnets don't go with men's dress, but listen, you know, you've got to come up with something that's, beyond your English understanding as it is, you know, and know that this was something nice, because listen what God says about it. And thou shalt make them for what?
Glory
and for beauty. How many of you think, I've always kind of had the idea that the other priests didn't dress so nice, but that's not what it says. They didn't have to go into the Holy of Holies, they didn't get to. Now we do. We get to go into the Holy of Holies. Come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, that's what the high priest did just once a year. But now we go in, we don't have to bring blood because the blood's there. And it's on us and in us. How should we look at our Father? Wow. He says in the 41st verse, and thou shalt put them in upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Sanctify them. Sanctify them. What's that mean? Set them apart. How could you be set apart in the way you look? See, do our garments have anything to do with us? Put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Does it have anything to do today? It has a way, even our appearance, our facial expressions. That's the way we ought to be looking. We ought to be looking pleasant. Did you ever go into a church where everybody acted like they came from, what was that old movie? Deliverance. They came from the Deliverance River. Did you ever see Deliverance and the river and all those people that were there? And sometimes you go into church and everybody looks kind of like that. They all stare at you. I don't believe that's the way church people ought to look. I think they ought to look happy, joyful, welcoming. I believe separate is in word, in deed, and in appearance. Sanctified. That should be us. When Solomon became king, God came to him and said, Solomon, ask of me what you will. And Solomon said what his dad had said earlier. His dad said, my son's a child. And that's what Solomon said. He said, I'm but a child. And all of a sudden, I'm the king. Now, he wasn't just a teenager, but he says, I'm a child. He said, well, what are you going to ask? I need wisdom, Lord. I need your wisdom to rule this people. God said, you know, you could have asked me for long life. I'd have given it to you. You could have asked me for riches. I'd have given it to you. But instead, you asked me for wisdom, not for yourself, but for others. And because you did, I'm going to give you more wisdom than any man's ever had. And I'm going to give you riches and long life. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Because see, it's got to get down inside of us. This is all about being servants. It's not about being tycoons. It's not about being one that just controls everything, a controlling spirit. It's about loving God and doing what He said. Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. 1 Kings 10:4 says, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, first she saw his wisdom. How did you see that? How do you see wisdom? Meditate on it. How? Go ahead. How?
It's how they conduct themselves.
What? Yeah. The way they conduct themselves and their business. And the house that he had built. And the meat of his table. And the sitting of his servants. And the attendance of his ministers. And their apparel. And his cupbearers. And his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. Now that's something to describe. She saw the sidewalk between the king's house and the temple. That's the ascent. She saw that ascent. And all of that was so magnificent, the Bible says it took her breath away. She almost swooned. She almost passed out. She said this. She says, I didn't believe these words in verse 7 until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Well, was that what David said they were going to build the house to be? A house that all the nations of the earth would talk about. She said, but when I actually saw it myself, they only halfway described it. The wisdom and the prosperity exceedeth the fame that I heard. What did she do? Verse 10, she gave the king 120 talents of gold. Well, he didn't need any gold. You know, they got so rich during Solomon's time that the Bible said they quit storing silver. They only stored gold. That'd be like you going out, somebody says, well, here's your change back from your 100. There's 20s. I don't take 20s. I only keep 100. Sorry. Think about it. They wouldn't keep silver. They only kept gold. Was Solomon rich? 120 talents of gold. I think if I've got that figured right, that was about $10 billion. That she gave him as a gift. So what manner of ministers should we be? I know I've gone long today. I apologize, but not with too much sincerity. I don't want to keep you here for longer than you ought to be here. Yes, brother?
It's just the kids got practice too. And if we
don't, oh. Okay, well, we're going to be done in about a minute. Okay. I would say in about a minute. We're going to be done. But what manner of ministers should we be? I need you to think about it. What should you look like? Who do we represent? Who do you represent? Well, I'm just my own. I go out and I just kind of put on my sunglasses. Nobody needs to know who I am. No.
You represent
the
abundant God.
That's right. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Has His will changed for this time? Is He different in this time than He was in the days of Solomon? If you're a king now, would you still be a king? If kings were prosperous and looked rich, suppose it'd still be the same? I think it's time for teshuvah. Change our mind about the ways we've been, what we've been accepting, what we've been allowing in our lives. You know, the devil, the thief, comes to steal. I've been stolen from. I think it's time to quit it. I think it's time to put a stop to it. Time to change my mind and my action about these things. Stand up with me. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Here we are. This is the kind of God we serve, is a great God, a mighty God, the Almighty. And He's chosen us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises. Say, show forth.
Show forth.
How do you show forth praises?
Singing.
How else?
Actions.
Dancing. Actions and singing and dancing.
Healing.
And healing. And loving.
And giving.
Everything about us shows forth His praise. In other words, what we're talking about, people, is it can be seen. What can the world see? They can't receive the things of the Spirit of God yet. It's foolishness unto them. They can't receive it. But what can we show them? The riches of God. The blessings of God. The abilities of God. Most of all, the love of God. Amen? That you should show forth the praises, the excellence is another translation for that word, arete, praises, of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Father, we bless You, honor You, adore You today. We praise You, Father, for all of Your goodness and mercy, Your help in times of need. We bless You today. Lord, cause our minds to be expanded beyond the narrow thinking of religion. Cause us to be lifted out of darkness and into Your marvelous light. We praise You for it. In the name of Yeshua. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah.